I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have the privilege of having Renee Swope with me, and she is an author, a speaker. I'm going to ask her some of her specific credentials. She is part of a community called Encourage, and Encourage is, I guess, new to me. I certainly have heard about it, but didn't know that much about it, but saw this book come out called Craving Connection and knew that we needed to talk about this on the Faith Conversations podcast. Certainly men and women both tune in to Faith Conversations, and the themes that we talk about today are transcendent themes. Certain aspects of the conversation may relate a little bit more to women, but I believe it will be easily translatable to men as well in your context, because women are not the only ones that struggle with friendships, with relationships. Mm-hmm. So I want to, first of all, welcome Renee to Faith Conversations. Thanks for joining
me. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And talk about the Encourage community, what that is. When I post the podcast at anitalustria.com, I'll put all of that in the informational paragraph, so if folks forget how to connect, it'll be there for them. But talk about it and give the website and tell us what it is.
So Encourage, you can find it at encourage.me, and it's spelled with an I. So incourage.me. And we are an online community of women with a team of contributors of about 25 of us, and then also just guest contributors, right, twice a week. So it's just a place where we just connect online to encourage one another in our relationships, our relationship with God. But a big focus is really our relationships with each other. And then we have posts, you know, about other relationships, motherhood, marriage, and or just things that are going on in our heart and our everyday life. It's just a real eclectic group. One of the things I love about it is how different our voices are. We're all different ages, different parts of the country, different backgrounds, but it's a place where we want people to feel like they've come into a big beach house and they can put their feet up and just be among friends, you know? And so we have Encourage online on the website and daily posts that go out. And then we also have, you know, we're on Instagram and Facebook, but then this year we're super excited. We're partnering with Lifeway to bring together resources to take what we're doing online really into our real life and into for women to be able to really connect in real life, because that's a real passion of ours. Everything we write, we want to point people back to connecting in real life relationships. And so this year we're releasing a book actually that's just coming out this week called Craving Connection. And it's written by 30 of us, taking some of the conversations that we've had online as well as conversations maybe that we haven't, just talking about friendships. And then we've got a Bible study coming out later this year with Lifeway and an event coming up in the fall. So
nice.
That's a little bit about who we are. Okay. And yeah.
All right. Well,
invite your listeners to come and check us out.
Absolutely. And I will too.
Yeah, definitely. Some familiar voices like Ann Voskamp and Liz Curtis Higgs and Lisa Jo Baker, some people. I mean, there's a really large group of women that are writing that a lot of women are familiar, but it's what's unusual, at least that I see, is that we aren't, like, our voices are different. Even our style of writing is different. And I like that. I think more women can connect with that variety in a unique way.
I appreciate that. And I think the other piece that you're modeling, I'm in a writer's group, have been for a bunch of years, and we also have an online, you know, private forum. And one of the things that I love is women encouraging other women. That's why I like the Encourage moniker that you all have. And the reality, or has been sometimes in the past, you'll come into women's groups that are competitive and not encouraging, and I love what you're all about, and I have been able to experience that in certain forums as well, and it's not small. That's a really big deal.
It is, and it's a really big priority for us as well. That's why we write during the week, but we have 2 days where it's guest contributors, because we don't want it to be all about us.
Yeah.
We really
love that too.
And we want people to have a place where they can share their voice and their story, and it just contributes to such a great conversation, makes it better.
Well, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Friends that listen to me in my years with Moody Radio heard me often talk about going deeper in community. It's something I speak on all the time, how to create community that really goes beyond the surface. And so when I saw the book Craving Connection, and I love the fact that there are multiple contributors, you know, my ears and eyes perked up. I knew I wanted to talk with someone that was contributing to this. I also love the layout talking about connecting with God more deeply, mm-hmm. connecting with friends more purposefully, connecting with community more intentionally. I think what has been of interest to me, and I would love your take on this, Renee, is not only how many women and men, I think the same holds true for men, though it might look a little different or they might be a little bit more stoic mm-hmm. about it, how many are lonely, but beyond lonely, they actually don't know even how to go about changing that scenario, how to go about cultivating relationships. It's like it's a lost art in our society today, in the church and outside the church.
I completely agree. And I think that there's been a shift. I mean, I've seen it. I've been in ministry for about 25 years, and I've seen the shift in a lot of churches where we've gone from like men's ministries and women's ministries to all small groups, mixed small groups of mixed ages, mixed, you know, whether you're male and female. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be great. It's a beautiful picture of community. But I also know there's conversations that don't happen in those yeah. kind of groups that used to happen.
Yeah.
And really, I at least have seen a real vacuum created for men and women, because it's almost like the church, the body of Christ, facilitated relationship building. And now, as a lot of churches have moved away from that, it's almost like we don't really know what to do on our own. Like, do we start our own ministry? Do we start our own Bible study? You know, because we crave it. Yeah. I mean, I think men crave male relationships, mm-hmm. but they don't really, you know, they're more comfortable like doing something together to have mm-hmm. a conversation. And then we crave that face to face. But I think we've gotten so busy. And also, I know for me, I'm just as guilty as anybody with being able to connect with people online. It seemed like, well, that's more convenient and it's faster. And so then I can actually get more done. I can connect online. Mm-hmm. And so slowly, and I think we all thought that would be enough, mm-hmm. but it isn't.
Is it, and I'll even ask, is it a false sense of community? I think in some ways it is.
I think it is. I think it's a false sense of community and it's a false sense of connection.
Yeah.
It's a very surface, I'm connecting with the facts of your life, but it's so different than sitting across from you, seeing you face to face.
Yeah.
To sense what's really going on, and for you to sense what's really going on with me and ask me questions about the things I'm not even saying, because
yes.
there's just something powerful when we're together mm-hmm. face-to-face that happens that can't happen online. And yet, because of our busyness, it's convenient, but then there's this void. And so I think there's this hunger, like you said, in men and women's hearts to move back towards relationships. And now we're like, how do we even start?
Mm-hmm.
Because we lost the art of it versus, you know, years and years and years ago when people just would be outside hanging out with their neighbor or drinking, you know, tea or yeah. lemonade on the porch. I'm from the South, so. Or maybe in California, you know, they were surfing and meeting on the beach. I don't yeah. know. But just there was this natural way that life paths were crossing. And I also know as a woman, as my children got older, mm-hmm. a lot of my friendships shifted.
Yes.
Because if our kids didn't stay friends,
right.
but we used to get together for play dates, now it's harder. Maybe their kids are now playing baseball and mine are playing soccer, or mine are in the band at school. And so we're now running kids around and we don't have as much time to be together unless we're intentional.
Yes.
And so, you know what? Our friendship is more than just our kids.
Well, and
let's have a girls' night once a week or something.
Totally. And I think the reality of the age in which we live, there are multiple factors that really break relationships apart, or have the potential to, when you talk about mm-hmm. divorce or becoming widowed or
yes.
loss of a job or moving, you know, cross country or, you know, even around the corner, your traffic patterns shift and, you know,
yes.
or changing churches or, you know, all kinds of things like that contribute, not to mention what you just talked about, the onset of, you know, we're all, most of us engaged in social media and kind of shifting our views of how that influences our world, maybe not even rightly thinking about it, or now mm-hmm. we're rethinking it. But all of those other factors are contributors to relational shifts as well. And I think we need to evaluate/reevaluate how we do relationships in this day and age.
Right. And put a priority on it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
really going back to, is this important to God?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we look at it in the very beginning of time and you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
there you go.
You know, in community
yeah.
with one another. And when you look at Genesis, it's create, you know, we were created in his image, but
it's not good for man to be alone. You know, that's
exactly.
there you go.
Yes. And he says, let us create
yes.
man in our image, you know, and so we are created by a God who is very relational.
Yes.
And so, and we are created in his image. So we're created. It is in our DNA.
Yes.
It is in our spirit and our soul. We are wired to need connection. And so it creates this huge void in our life when we don't have it. And so then we have to say, okay, if this is important to God, mm-hmm. and we can look at the life of Jesus
right.
and see relationships were highly important to him. And so we say, okay, well, how do we shift my values or my time, how I'm spending my time, so that I make this a priority in my life? And what does that look like
yeah.
to weave that back into a better place of balance, knowing that not only do we need it, the people around us need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes we wait for others to create it, invite us into it, when I think what God's challenging me to do and what I hope this resource, Craving Connection, will be, as we wrote it, our desire was that it would be a resource. I mean, it's so encouraging. The content is so good. It's written by so many different voices. And each person is just really vulnerable about, you know, conflicts they've had or forgiveness, some, you know, fun ideas. Like, it's got such a variety. And I feel like it touches on everything we need to talk about that we're not talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like somebody else is starting the conversation by having these different 30 challenges and devotions. Somebody else is starting the conversation, and then we've got this language now, and challenges at the end of each. There's like a challenge of things to do together to create community. So I feel like it's a great resource for such a time as this.
Well, and I would say, I think one of my favorite parts, I like the connection challenge, but I'm a huge lover of good questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely love at the end of each chapter, you know, and these are short chapters, which I also love, but you have connection questions. And
yeah.
so I think it would be helpful to take a look at one specifically that you wrote, and it is in the first section about connecting with God more deeply, which definitely is important, but we're going to get to some of the practicalities of connecting with others and what that can look like and how we can be purposeful in that. But you talk about, you know, how are you really, and I think mm-hmm. most of us know what that means, that ask that we get at church or
yeah.
when we meet the friend at the grocery store or whatever, you know,
yeah.
how are
just
you
in
today?
Passing, like,
right?
how are you?
How are you?
Uh-huh. But then we can ask, but really, no, really, how are you? And
yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be in the connecting with God section. We just submitted them, and then the team decided,
oh, okay.
the editorial team decided. And so, but I love that it is, because in order to be honest and share with you how am I really, I need to be in a place with God that I'm secure enough to be transparent and that he's okay with how I am really,
yeah.
if I'm not really good, you know, if I'm unfine, instead of telling and pretending like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I think that's why this story was put in here. And so here's what happened to me. I was at church and it had been a really rough week for us as a family. Our daughter, who we had just adopted a couple years before that from Ethiopia, she was 2.5 at the time. And she had just been diagnosed with a speech disorder, and we didn't know what was going on. And they really couldn't tell us long term what it would look like. But she had gone from, at 2, she had 15 words, and at 2.5, she could only say 5.
Mm.
And whenever you see digression, it's a huge concern. And the formation of her words, too, were very concerning. And long term, she's 8 now, and she does have a pretty severe speech disorder, as well as other developmental delays. So I was in a rough place. This came at us, you know, unexpectedly, mm-hmm. and I was grieving.
Sure.
But nobody really knew what we were going through, because we were just trying to figure out what we were going through, honestly. And so I was standing in the lobby at church. My husband had gone to get Aster out of the children's area. And a friend of mine, who I hadn't seen in a really long time, so Kelly is like an acquaintance, but she walked up to me and she was like, hey, how are you doing? And I'm sure she was expecting me to say, oh, I'm great. How are you?
yeah.
But there was this split second where I thought, should I be honest? You know, what if I start crying? What if she doesn't really have time to listen? You know, what if she's just asking me just to be nice? You know, should I keep it simple and tell her I'm fine? And for some reason, you know, I just decided to take a risk and tell her how I was really doing. Now, I wouldn't do this with just anybody, But I do want to make it clear, it wasn't like my best friend. You know, this wasn't a close friend, but it was someone who I did feel like I could let my guard down with. Yeah. And so I told her, you know, I'm overwhelmed and exhausted. I told her what we'd been through, the doctor's appointments that we'd been through, and kind of where we were and what more news we were waiting on to hear back. And, you know, I let my heart and my tears spill and my words spill. And Kelly just listened. And although I'm sure she had places to go, she'd probably given her family the look like, wait a minute, you know, you know, she stayed with me and she grabbed some tissues and helped just so as the tears came down my cheeks, she was just there to support me. And then she just asked, you know, is there anything that we can do to help? And what I learned that day is when I wanted to be strong, that God showed me that there was a powerful gift in being willing to be weak when I was willing to be weak.
Yes.
And how I discovered that is because after we finished talking and Kelly was getting ready to, you know, go meet her family and probably head to lunch, Kelly asked if she could pray for me, you know, right there in that moment. And then afterwards, she thanked me for being willing to be honest and to tell her what was really going on. And then she told me how she often looked at my life and assumed that I was fine and had it all put together. But that day, knowing that I needed help, prayers, and encouragement, and didn't have it all figured out, she felt more normal herself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the gift we give each other in times like those.
Well, and I think especially those who are in ministry positions, it's easy for us to feel like we need to look like it's all together. And but it's interesting. It's counterintuitive. You know, it really what we're modeling the wrong thing to have that look of having it all together. And I'm even thinking of what it is we model for our own children when we reach out and express that we also need others, that it's not, you know, we're just not there to meet the needs of others. That's actually, you know, not a proper view of relationship. It's mutual.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful point. That's something that my husband and I have been very intentional about, is letting our kids see that we do need people, that we don't have it all together, that being in ministry is a calling. It's just an invitation, you know, from God to offer, you know, what he's teaching us, but not that we have it together or have all the answers, and that we do need other people, and that it's okay to struggle and to be hurting. You know, we've allowed our kids to, especially, you know, our boys who are older, they're 18 and 21, we've allowed them to see us walk through hard stuff, whether it be conflict in relationships. Of course, we've been careful about how to navigate that, what we communicate, but also ministry hardships. And I do think it's important. I know for me, anytime I communicate with readers or with someone online or at a speaking event, not just past experiences where God's come through, but current circumstances I'm walking through that I need God in, they're so grateful that I'm willing to say, I need him to show up right now. This is hard. Not that I'm like, that I'm still in process.
Yes.
And I think that's what we need from each other in relationship. And that's what I believe God wants more than anything in the body of Christ, that we are the different parts that can strengthen one another. And I think oftentimes we are afraid to be vulnerable because either we think that people expect us to be okay, or that they'll think we're high maintenance, you know, if we're not okay, or by saying we're okay, we eventually will be okay. But I really want to challenge women to be willing to go first. And there's wisdom in what does that look like? And I don't think we should spill our guts and all of our hard stuff on a total stranger or someone we've only met, you know, the first or second time. That might be overwhelming for them.
Yeah, it's a good way to kill a budding friendship. They may not answer your next call to get together again. So you have to be discerning.
Yeah. But maybe saying, and like when they say I'm fine, saying that, well, how are you really, like, I want to be a safe place where if you need me to pray for you, or is there anything I can do to help you this week? And then be that, you know, truly be that confidant and that safe place. And we begin to foster then, I think, those kind of relationships.
Yeah. Preach. I think that's great stuff. Well, you know, you talk about in the book connecting with friends more purposefully, and there are a whole bunch of different contributors under that particular section in the book. Talk about some ways that we can cultivate some of those meaningful relationships, because sometimes I think we struggle knowing how to do that. We get that we need to and that we need to initiate, and sometimes we can't sit back, as you were just talking, and wait for someone else to do that. Mm-hmm. And to the introverts listening, I know that's hard. I know that's difficult. We, you know, you're hoping the extroverts will carry it all here, but that's just not the way it is. We have to be intentional, and we have to sometimes often be the initiator. But what are some of the ways we can cultivate these relationships that have potential of going deeper?
So I've got a list that I have on my blog, my personal blog, and throughout the book, I'm there at the end of each chapter, where there's 30 different short chapters, as you mentioned, there is a challenge and just real practical stuff, which I absolutely love, because sometimes I can't think of something.
So give your blog address.
Let me read you my, yeah.
Also.
Oh, it's reneeswope.com. Yep. And just in the search bar, look for Craving Connection.
Yeah, and I'll put that at anitalustria.com. Folks that are familiar, if they forget that, they can find it all there.
Okay,
that's great.
That sounds good.
Cool.
And so here's, I'm going to read you this. Like, plan a monthly girls' night out. You know, I have a group of moms that I'm just joining right now. I fell apart on the phone with a friend, and she invited me to be part of this group.
That's great.
But it's all moms with special needs kids.
Yep, excellent.
Because it's so plan a monthly girls' night out. And that's not the only time I do it, but that's a really unique situation mm-hmm. that's really going to be helpful in my life. Invite a friend over for lunch or coffee. Or if you work, like, meet each other for lunch or for an afternoon 15, 20-minute walk. And, you know, around the parking.
And I'll add on to that, especially for the introverts, if someone says no, they can't, don't give up. Don't say, well, I tried and that's it. Don't give
right.
up, because sometimes the people we gravitate toward are people who are really busy. Those safe people might have a lot of relationships already going. Don't give up. You know, ask someone else.
Yeah,
you know,
in fact, yeah. Maybe look for someone. Ask Scott. I started when we first moved here in Charlotte, and when I go through different seasons, because with us adopting Aster and my boys being so much older, mm-hmm. when we brought Aster home as a 10-month-old, we had 11 and 13-year-old boys, and so I didn't have friends who had 10-month-olds.
Sure,
all
right.
My friends. And so I started praying, Lord, you know, help me find friends that have kids the same age, and help me find people who are also just needing friends.
Yes.
So I think starting with prayer and looking for people who just get, like, God, give me the eyes to land on someone who needs a friend. And like you said, don't take it personally if they're not available. Just keep trying.
Yes.
But, you know, find a hobby maybe that you enjoy together. Mm-hmm. Get away together maybe for a day or a weekend as your friendship gets closer. Carpool together. That's something that I found, like, and that sounds crazy, but that's a fun way to just grab 20 minutes in the car and catch up. It doesn't have to be this long, big thing.
Yeah.
But maybe once a week, carpool together, run errands together.
Mm.
A friend of mine and I used to do that. We were in Bible study together. We would just on Tuesdays go run errands afterwards together. Clean your house or do laundry together.
Oh, I like that.
Here's
that's some help, next. Right?
That's something I used to do with my pastor's wife years and years ago when I was single and wanted to be mentored. I'd say, can I come over and fold clothes with you? Because she didn't have time. She had 5 kids. She didn't have time to get together with me for coffee. But she would let me come over and fold clothes with her. And it allowed me just to be a part of her life. Mm. Cooking dinner together. I know some friends that just got together and spent a whole day cooking, like, all these meals.
So like that you could freeze and
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, serve That's someone fun. In need together. Reach out to a neighbor together. Maybe you live in the same neighborhood and there's an elderly woman or a single mom or, you know, a single dad, you know, just reaching out and to someone together or start a Bible study or a book club together. I mean, I am planning on doing a book club with this book because I feel like the content in this book, Craving Connection, is so valuable. It's the things that we need to talk about as women that I think we're kind of afraid to with the people close to us because, you know, it's just some intimate stuff about being hurt in relationships.
And well, and I'll just say, if you start a book club like that and ask those connection questions that are at the end of chapters, you'll go deep pretty quickly because,
yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I think someone will feel a little out of place if they opt out of answering for, you know, too many rounds going around, you know, and I mean, I think they'll see modeled by others that, okay, I can be real here. I can't, you know, I'm not the only one. I love the C.S. Lewis quote, and I know it's included in the book at some place about, you know, the way a friendship is made or something to that basic idea is when you realize, oh, you too, you know,
yeah.
we both feel the same way. We both have the same need, but we're human. We're human.
Yeah.
We need relationships.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I think the greatest two words we can say to each other is me too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Those are some practical things that One thing I think is important, because we are busy, is to do life together. Find creative ways to do life together.
And what, well, when you say creative ways, well, I think you're talking about it. You talked about cleaning houses together, running errands together. I mean, those aren't small things. And because, as you mentioned earlier, and anyone listening is living this, we're all busy. It's got to get done for both of us. Why not do it together? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend who we didn't used to shop at Trader Joe's. I don't know if you guys have one near you, but it's a different kind of grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I could not figure out my way around. So I asked a friend, hey, can we go to Trader Joe's together a few weeks in a row so you can kind of teach
show me the ropes
how to shop at Trader Joe's? And it was so fun to do that. And then another friend recently, I was like, I need to figure out makeup. Can we go to the mall and like shop for makeup together? And it was so much fun. I felt like a teenager again. Well, but yeah, I think doing stuff like that. And this is a friend that I did the makeup thing with. It's someone who just moved to Charlotte about a year ago. We're just getting to know each other. I had invited her to be a part of a community Bible study in Charlotte that I'd never gone to. So we were both new to that study. And then we would run errands together. And one day I was like, I need makeup. Will you go with me to the mall? She did.
Again, it's that being intentional, but reaching out, taking a risk to reach out and ask.
And not making it complicated or a huge commitment. I think starting with smaller commitments that.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, going to shop for makeup, it's not, you're not necessarily telling your deep, dark secrets on the first, trip to the mall.
Yeah.
Something like that. We had something similar. Folks listening to the podcast know that my husband, Mike, and I just moved from Chicago to Sarasota, Florida. We've been here just, a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And we were in the parking lot of the local grocery store. It was dark. We just moved. I was hot, sweaty, and I looked pretty horrible. And this woman comes up and goes, welcome to Florida. And I thought, how on earth did she know we had just moved? I go, these people, they're friendly. I really need this. But I, and she said, no, I've seen you. I've listened to you for years, and I recognize your picture from your website. I thought, seriously, you could recognize me in the dark and looking like this? But she did. And she and her husband took my husband and I out to pizza, and it was just sort of like balm for our soul. It's like, okay, we don't know you, but you have extended, and yes, we're saying yes. We went and had great conversation, and it's that extending. And I think if we can remember, and I love hearing your stories about Charlotte, because you've not lived there all that long. You've been there a while.
But now. But when we moved here, it took me 3 years, I would say.
Yeah.
We moved here 21 years ago, but literally the first 3 years to establish close friendships. Because when I got here, everybody had their friends.
Yeah, and it's hard to break in. So all that to say, when you move, when you realize the need, I think it makes you more open to receiving others when they're new. It opens your eyes to things you just didn't realize before.
Right, because you'd never been in that
place. Because you'd never been in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I think so God uses that then as you have eyes to see and open up to others around you that have similar need when you see that. So I love that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Exactly.
What do you want to leave folks with? What do you really hope happens? Yes, women going through the book together and joining in and going deeper in community. But what's the bottom line message you want to leave with folks today?
That God created you. Mm-hmm. With a need for relationships first, with him. And his heart is Emmanuel, our God with us. So just the with us of God is so important to him. And asking God to help you see, where there are gaps and places in your life where maybe you don't even realize there's a sense of loneliness, because I think we can be busy and doing a lot. And I know in my own life, but still be lonely. And so just asking God, show me, is there an area in my life, am I so busy that I don't even recognize I'm lonely, but yet I'm irritated or I'm eating lots of ice cream. You know, there could be symptoms.
Yeah, just maybe, right?
Yeah. And then asking him to fill that and then to lead you, because you're missing out on his very best for you. And and I am too. I mean, I am in a season of life where I've made some huge transitions in ministry. We have a son who went to college, and now and another one who moved out. So we just have one child at home now who's 8, and she does have special needs. So it's a different, you know, it's just a very different schedule than we used to have. Mm-hmm. And so I've walked through loneliness. And so I want people to know that we all struggle with this. And just because someone has a great career or a great marriage or whatever, that it looks like maybe they have what you want, they struggle with loneliness too. Mm-hmm. Or there's a possibility they struggle with loneliness too. And just asking God, how can I be a good friend to someone else?
I think that realization too, that as you're praying for relationships, there's someone else out there praying as well. And you know, you're not the only one. And you know, God just may indeed connect you, but he certainly will answer your prayer. It may not look like what you're expecting either. So have those eyes wide open to see how and where God might answer. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a big topic. It's huge. It's important. Craving Connection is the name of the book. A lot of challenges. And honestly, there's fantastic questions to ponder and think about. I think it's a really worthwhile resource to go through with a group. Mm-hmm. Grab 2 or 3, 5 or 6 women. I think it'd be a tremendous help to anyone who's struggling in that relationship area, which basically is all of us. So there.
Yeah.
Oh, Renee, thanks. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your heart for community as well. And I really feel like God is doing something. And I'm praying too that we'll see this book being used in churches too, because I think the church, that's where God wants, you know, us to come together. And I think it can be a beautiful new thing that God's doing too in the church.
I preach on that all day. I'm with you. Thanks.
Well, it's great talking to you, Anita.
You too. Thanks so much.
Have a conversation. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.